This is the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, Series 5, Episode 27, Our Man in Sardinia. Coming up on this week's Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, Gareth joined us on the line all the way from sunny Sardinia, ice cream in hand, and we talk about a 13-year-old leg spinner who wants to bowl faster but not lose any of his rip. We discuss how to focus when the season reaches just past the midpoint, and we help a batsman who keeps getting bowled by straight ones. All that and more coming up on this week's Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. Welcome to the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, your guide to the cutting edge of cricket, all the skills and plans and practices that you need to help you become a better cricketer or a better cricket coach. My name's David Hinchliffe, and I look after things here. We've got a worldwide panel this week. Joining me, first of all, it's a man whose main job is director of cricket at Millfield School, but he's not there today. It's Mark Garraway. Garraz, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Forte Village in Sardinia and Abramovich's yacht.
Marvellous. It's a bit of a shaky connection today. We're going to try and get through the show as best that we can, but anyone who's who gets a little bit stressed out, just imagine Gareth's on the beach there with his ice cream and everything would be lovely. Somewhere a little bit closer to home, certainly to my home anyway, it's Sam Lavery, the cricket professional at Portsmouth Grammar School. Hello, Lavers, where are you?
I'm currently at home, actually, in Curdridge, just about 5 minutes from the Aegeus Bowl. Nice quiet day. I'm going along to have a look at Hampshire Seconds this afternoon, see what they're doing. Oh, and a nice quiet day apart from that.
Well, I've got the under-14s this evening, and we've only got 10 men because three people are on holiday and the captain's in Florida for a month. So, and it looks like rain. So that's tricky for you, isn't it? But we'll soldier on, we'll do our best. Speaking of the cricket season, we are getting to a point in the cricket season where things are becoming a bit more fluid. You know, schools are finishing, as you both know, of course, and clubs are still soldiering on. There's still a bit of the season left in the UK. But it's a time when maybe people can lose a little bit of focus. You know, it's not, especially if the season's not going particularly well. Maybe your side's in the middle of the league table and you look like you're going to go nowhere. How do you get the focus right in the later stages of a cricket season where maybe things haven't gone according to plan?
It's a tough one, isn't it? And I suppose it all varies on your situation that you're in the season. And normally what happens around this time of year, just like me, people go off on holiday, don't they? So it creates opportunity for others to come in, and that's always one of the highlights of the season. If we can create opportunity, you never know what somebody's going to do, if they're going to step up or fall by the wayside. So I find that bit of the season really quite enjoyable.
Yeah, it's. I remember a quote from Dhoni a couple of years back saying, "If you change the word pressure to the word responsibility, that's it changes the focus of people." I think that's quite a nice way to look at things. Instead of a young player coming into the first team or something and saying, "Oh, I've got a load of pressure on me because, you know, it's getting to the sharp end of the season," you can say, "Well, I can take responsibility and score a few runs here or take a few wickets here."
Yeah, I think that's a really good way of putting it. I think one thing we'd be aware of is some clubs will probably find that they're not in the decline of the season. They're still in the ascendance, really, because of the amount of cricket they've missed. I know quite a few clubs in the area where I am, even though it's on the south coast, they've only played 5 or 6 games. And this was still 8 games to go. It's still very much the first half of the season, and there's a long way to go yet. And one of the important things that people will be thinking about as well is that, given the amount of cricket that we've lost to rain this year, there's a big importance on every single match with leagues being decided on average points. When you're 18 or 19 or 17 or 18 games through a season, one game doesn't have a massive impact on your final season standing. But when you've only played 5 or 6 games, every game has a massive impact on your resultant average. So as a team, I think there's a hell of a lot of impacts you can have in this middle stage of the season, possibly catching out those sides around you who are going into that into that drifting mode, where if you take full advantage of it and really commit to the next 3 or 4 weeks, this is where the season can kind of be won or be lost, I think.
And how do you do that? Because it is natural for a bit of lethargy to creep in, especially, I think, if you have had a bit of a stop-start season and maybe you haven't been able to get to training every week because it's been wet and then you've missed a couple of games and there's been no rhythm or consistency to the season. How do you, and then you just think, oh, well, we're drifting along, and then, you know, come the last couple of games, maybe the focus appears again anyway. How do you fight against that drift?
One of the things we've just done is we've just actually reviewed our initial targets. So we're just looking at where we are as a group and where we are individually in relation to what we were planning to achieve at the start of the season. So we gave ourselves various roles in the side, and we spoke about what we wanted to do and how we felt we could contribute, and what we and also how we wanted to improve through the season, and what our aims were, what we wanted to try and develop come the end of the season or the middle of the season. And we're just having a little bit of a review of that at the moment and just looking at individuals and are we up to where we wanted to be, and if not, why not? And sometimes there are reasons that are almost can't be accounted for with the weather or with various other situations such as injury, and sometimes there are areas that maybe we could have improved on. So we're just trying to take, as you said, take responsibility for what we wanted to achieve and say, are we actually doing that? In this instance, it's not a massive case of needing to freshen up sessions, although in a lot of cases that is what works well. Just trying to mix up your sessions a little bit and make them interesting a bit, because it can get to a stage where training becomes a bit of a drag, and training can be such an important part to any club cricketer that if they miss a session or they miss a couple of weeks and they don't score in those couple of weeks, it can be almost a month without a bat sometimes. So kind of trying to keep training ideas fresh and keep people on their toes, so that when they stand up to training this week or next week, they've got a completely new session in front of them, and suddenly their brain's having to engage because they're not sure what's going on around them, and it's engaging them again. Yeah, obviously different clubs are at different stages in the season, but I think you can assess how you're doing, and if you need to freshen up, you can freshen up. If you need to continue on the path that you set at the beginning, that's what you can do.
It is nice, I guess, to do something different as well, isn't it? Even if it's different within cricket, you know, maybe you like I was saying about the under-14s, maybe you're a first-team player, but you go along to an under-14 training session because the weather's nice that night. And you help out with that, and maybe that'll just re-galvanise you and remind you what it's all about.
And something like that is a great thing to happen at any stage to everyone concerned. The under-14 cricketer suddenly meets the person that they want to be in the next 3 or 4 years' time, potentially. The coach who's leading the session suddenly is able to take a step back and actually just look at the session from a distance a little bit more, rather than having to do constant management of every little decision, every little bit of coaching. And as you say, that first team player who joins the session re-engages themselves in a little bit of learning, and possibly just reminds himself of a few simple things that they've maybe not been doing in their own game, and that could revitalise them as well.
Okay, let's wrap up with the yes-no round. 3 questions that can only be answered yes or no to, no matter how much more that the panel want to say. I'll be in charge of the questions this week because Berners is doing some very important pitch vision work. So the first question is, buying in players misses the point of club cricket.
Yes. No.
Second question, a straight ball is a happy ball.
Yes.
Yes.
Third question, if it rains, slide.
Yes.
Yes.
Right, so let's head into the mailbag. Now, of course, it's a pretty simple format for this. We have a couple of questions and we fire out a couple of answers. Hopefully we help people along the way, but whether we do or we don't, at the end of it, we choose the best question of the week, and that wins a prize, which is an online coaching course courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. And those will definitely help people. Some big names with some big ideas to have a look at, to fill in the worksheets and watch the videos and generally help yourself to become a better cricketer or a better coach if that's what you want to do. And the first question this week is from Cameron. Cameron says, hello, Pitch Vision coaches. I'm a 13-year-old leg spinner who doesn't spin the ball when bowling at a faster pace than usual. I try to spin the ball while bowling faster, but it doesn't really spin as much as it does when I bowl my stock speed, which is around 33 to 35 miles an hour. I don't understand why it isn't spinning if all I'm doing to make the ball go quicker is to pull my front arm down quicker. Can you please help as to why this happens and give a possible reason for it?
Yeah, I think we've answered this question a little bit before, which is every bowler, particularly spinners, has an optimum pace where they get optimum amounts of spin. And it sounds as if at the age of 13, that 30 miles an hour is your optimum pace to get the most with that, with the understanding as you get older and as you get stronger, be able to propel the ball at faster rates and still get the same. So just be patient. We talk about patience a lot, and this is another case of that. So stick with it. That is your pace presently, and you'll find as you get stronger and older, your pace will increase.
Also, it's a patience game, Lever. Simple as that.
Yeah, I think a lot of it will come down to patience, and we do talk about it a lot. And understandably, a lot of people do send in a message saying, almost asking for a quick fix, really, don't they? And they want to know how they can go from A to B in no time at all. And there are occasions where you can make big leaps forwards, and that's great. And there are instances where you do have to be aware of biding your time a little bit and just being able to just let yourself develop and let the game develop around you rather than rushing it. And unfortunately, it might mean that other people develop physically or develop alongside you at a faster rate at times, but there is an element of patience that you've got to maintain throughout. And if you're in cricket for the long game, eventually you're physically mature and your skills will more mature on the way. One thing I'd be interested to see in terms of you as a leg spinner is the direction the ball's spinning. And sometimes if you bowl quite slowly, in terms of adult cricket, 33 to 35 miles an hour is quite slow. But as a 13-year-old, that sounds like a pretty good pace to me. If you bowl at that kind of pace and you spin the ball primarily sideways, or even sideways and backwards, that ball will grip the surface and spin. But if you add the pace to it, to a ball that's just spinning sideways, or as I said, sideways and backwards, that ball will skid on because of the extra pace, not allowing the ball that's rotating against the direction the ball's travelling to actually get any purchase with the surface. That is in essence what a Shane Warne slider is, a ball spinning sideways travelling forwards, or in his case a ball spinning sideways and slightly backwards travelling forwards. And it might be that is actually what you're doing at the moment. You may be spinning it sideways or sideways and backwards, and it allows you the purchase at the lower speed but doesn't allow you the purchase at the higher speed. That's a possibility, in which case you may find that if you can get more overspin, you will allow yourself to actually get some purchase at a slightly higher speed. However, again, that is just that is quite an open suggestion, really, because without actually seeing you bowl and seeing the way in which the ball's spinning and the ball's coming out of your hand, it's difficult to know. The other thing I'd say is you may find that in trying to pull your front arm down quicker, as you've alluded to there, that may actually be disrupting the manner in which you're bowling as well. So it could be that this really nice technique that you've developed through your spin bowling, which works at a 33 to 35 mile an hour bracket, gets you in a really good position and your wrist in a really good position where you can spin the ball. Whereas in pulling that front arm down, that puts your body in a slightly different position and maybe changes the amount or the angle of those revolutions on the ball. And subsequently, you're not getting the ball spinning the way you want it to. So we may be able to look at other ways to add your pace. So rather than improving your arm speed, what about looking at elevating your approach speed or your momentum into your jumps, add a bit of pace. So there are a few different ways we can approach the subject of trying to add pace, and it might be that
approaching it from a different angle and adding speed into the run-up problem, speed into the arms, we actually maintain our action better and we still get that purchase at a slightly higher speed. So a couple of things to think about there. But again, go back to the game. Don't be expecting miracles to happen overnight. Just have a deliberate approach to little changes that you may want to experiment with. But ultimately, you may have to accept that it's just a patience game and allowing yourself to grow a little bit and get a little bit stronger on the way.
That's quite a difficult thing to get across as a coach, though, isn't it? To say to someone, don't worry about it, stay patient.
Absolutely. I think you want to give people answers that are going to help them immediately, and you want to give people options that are going to make an impact on their cricket straight away. And it may be in this case with Cameron that adding a little bit of pace to his run-up and not over-exerting with his arms allows him to get that spin, or it may be that by assessing the direction the ball is spinning out of his hand that he might be able to get more overspin and might be able to get that that rip he's looking for off the surface. But with other people, this is where the coach's role has to become so much more than just a coach. You have to support people long-term. You have to allow them to understand the big picture and where they want to be, not in a week's time, but also in a month's time or a year's time, and plan that pathway to where they want to be. So it is a difficult job, and it's one that you have to kind of manage with each individual quite differently, I suppose.
All right, well, as you have been experiencing for the last few minutes, you can tell that Mark Garraway is unfortunately in an area which is in a very high demand for Wi-Fi at the moment, and we've not been able to get a proper conversation with him. So what we've done is we had a little pause just then, and we've decided that it's best all round for Gareth to head off into the sunshine and enjoy the rest of his ice cream and pina colada and whatever it is that Gareth does when he's away coaching. And it's just going to be me and you for the rest of the show, Lavers.
Okay, well, I'll try and cover Gareth's many insightful points. If you can cover Berner's layman's view of cricket coaching, we might be able to battle our way through.
Yeah, quite possibly. Although nobody can reflect Berners. He is one of a kind. They broke the mold when it came.
Well,
to
I think the next question you might be able to give a Berners answer to.
Yeah, possibly. Let's see what that is. So it's from Nilab, and Nilab, it's a pretty short question, but I'm hoping maybe we can get some discussion around the theme of the question rather than just directly answering the question. And Nilab says, "What can I do if I'm getting out by deliveries on off stump, pitching on a good length for more than 10 innings, feeling stressful?" And then he did a little sad face. So what can we do? What can we do to help Nilab with his problem of he keeps missing the straight ones?
Well, I think it's a good question. It seems like an obvious one, but probably not an obvious answer sometimes. I think the first thing to do if you find yourself getting out and getting frustrated is just try and review what you've been doing over the period of time that's concerning you. So obviously, last 10 innings, it's been a consistent delivery that's quite almost a stock ball that's been causing him problems. So the first thing I'd ask to Nilab is how are you getting out? Are you getting out in exactly the same manner each time, or are you finding different ways to get out to the same ball?
Because it's a very different response, isn't it? If he says, well, yeah, I'm trying to put it over cow corner and I can't understand why I keep
absolutely
getting bowled.
Absolutely, because if he's putting it over cow corner each time he keeps getting caught, then that's one that I'm not going to answer and we'll get Berners in to do. However,
If we find that we're getting bowled, or consistently we're getting LBW, or consistently we're nicking off, and there's a general theme to how we're getting out, then that gives us a little bit more strength to our review and how we can go about altering or developing what he's doing as a cricketer. So the first thing I'd be asking is, what are we doing? So it sounds like it's a consistent delivery. So the odds are it's probably a consistent mistake that's being made along the way.
Well, even there, but that his analysis is that it's a good length ball on off stump. But then you often get that a player who thinks it's a certain type of ball, and when you actually review it or ask other people, they say, "Well, no, it wasn't. It wasn't a good length ball on the off stump at all. It was a leg stump Yorker."
that's a good point, and something we spoke about, I think, a couple of weeks ago is your own interpretation of a delivery, or your own interpretation of how you get out, and just confirming that before you get too deep into the analysis, and just checking with your partner down the other end and getting some information. Was it the same thing? Am I doing the same thing again? Was the ball the same sort of area? And just getting a little bit of confirmation from someone else that you are interpreting what actually is going on in front of you, and that may not be the case.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's a lot of factors there that we can't know the answer to, and before you can go any further down that line, you have to know exactly what those factors are.
Yeah, I mean, you can guess at a few things. So, for instance, you might find that you are one of millions of cricketers around the world who find that straight ball on middle and off, or there or thereabouts, is getting you out LBW, and that's or bowled, and that's many a cricketer find that straighter delivery that's on the stumps, as opposed to that length ball outside off stump. They find it a lot harder to play, and often that's just a simple balance issue. So if you're finding yourself getting bowled or getting LBW, just try and either get a little bit of video footage or speak to one of your friends and just get them to have a look at your body position. Is your head above your feet, or are you in a position where you're off balance and you're already leaning in one direction? Because what that can do is that can make you move to the offside when you're trying to move straight because you're off balance, and also it can interfere with your interpretation of the line or length of the ball. So if it's bowled or LBW, I'd be looking at my balance in my position at the ball is being released, and making sure that I've got that position with head directly above feet. If you find yourself consistently edging the ball, then we may find that our movement is possibly not to the direction we'd like, whether that's the movement of our feet and away from the ball, or the movement of our hands and bat and the path of the bat going across the ball. Or you may even find it's a combination of the two. So I think just trying to have some structured analysis of what you're doing. And you don't have to do it on your own, as we mentioned there. You can get your teammates, or one of your teammates, or your coach, or whoever you've got around you, just to try and get them involved and just say, right, if we talk about the last month or so, we talk about what I'm doing in the nets, because no doubt if it's happening in games, it's probably happening in nets as well. What can we pick out as a group that's constant? And obviously, it's a process like this. It is good to get, I would say, good to speak to different people individually, so they don't cloud each other's judgment. Because if one person says something, the other person can jump on the back of it and say, try and get four or five separate opinions if you can do, and see if they can describe the way you've got out and see if that matches with what you were thinking. And from there, if it's bowled or LBW, ask them that. Where was I after I hit the shot? Where was my body position? Where did I step? Where was my head? And similarly, if I'm missing the ball, or I'm edging the ball, am I in line with it? What's the path of my bat generally look like? So just try and have those discussions with people around you. And it may be that you can come up with one constant that's just causing you a little bit of aggravation on the way, and potentially stopping you from doing what you want to do, which is keep out those straight balls. And it may come down to something as simple as you're not watching the ball. And when it's on the stumps, you miss it. When it's off the stumps, you miss it. But the ones that are on the stumps, the ones that are going to cause you problems. So a little bit of structured analysis individually and a little bit of support from some friends if possible.
Yeah, sometimes it's a matter of thinking back to when things were going well, isn't it? And seeing what's changed from when things were going well. Unless Nilab has never been able to keep out a straight ball, which hopefully he has at some point. He's had a period of success at some point. Then it's going to be something to refer back to. You know, you might not have video footage of yourself blazing the ball around when everything was going well, but you can try and remember, and you can get people you trust to look at you and say, "Yeah, I think something might have changed there." And you know, let's try and reset back to where it was. And just going through the exercise of thinking back to the last time you played a really good innings, and you know, you batted through without any trouble against straight balls on off stump, and you know, you could play them in the way that you want to play them, and there weren't any problems. You know, how was that different now than it was from then, and what can you do to get back to that? And that kind of covers the psychological side of it more, doesn't it? You know, to think back, visualize, they call it, don't they? But you know, to really just to think back to when you were successful.
Yeah, and it might be, I mean, given that it's Nilab's specifically said it's the last 10 innings or so that have caused him problems, it suggests there was a time of success, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it suggests that maybe a year ago he felt very confident in what he was doing. And obviously we don't know a lot about Nilab, we don't know his age, but one thing that this could suggest is that possibly Nilab is a young cricketer going through some sort of growth or physical development, in which case he's changing physically, and as a result the way in which he's playing is changing slightly, and his body position or his body shape as he's playing a shot or his setting up is changing a little bit. And that's just something that he's maybe got to manage a little bit and be aware of as he gets taller, as he gets stronger, as his body shape changes. So it may be something that that's developing as Nilab is growing, but we don't know that. He may be 45 years old, and he may not have grown for 25 years. That could be the case as well.
Yeah, we to a certain extent we're guessing, and we're giving some general advice about what happens when something is going wrong and it's consistently going wrong. I mean, that's a real, you know, 10 in a row is a real consistent source of failure, isn't it? I mean, it's rare that you see someone do something like that 10 times in a row, isn't it?
Yeah, I think for me, if I'd ever found myself getting out the same way, probably 3-4 times out of 5 or 6. So if I had 6 innings in a row and I found myself getting out 3 or 4 times in the same manner, and by the same manner I mean not necessarily the same method of dismissal, but the same type of delivery that's caused me the problems, and it's caused me to play the same shot, which has caused me to get out, I'd be starting to be a little aware of what I was doing, and I might start to just ask around and see if there was anything that anyone thought I could do differently, which is what Nilab's got to hear. And I'd imagine that we probably weren't Nilab's first port of call. He may have actually spoke to a few people around him before he's come to us, so he's probably going down the same line. But if there is a constant, it can be as simple as just keeping a little notebook with you. So for other people who are going through their cricket, just try and make a few notes after every game as to what you actually do when things are working nicely, because as David said, not everyone will have video footage of themselves, but what you feel like you're doing when you're batting well or you're bowling well, and keeping a record of that. And then when things aren't going well, when you did get out, what did you do when you got out? What did the bowler bowl? What did you feel like you did? What actually happened? And then maybe through a period of time, there may be trends that you can start to identify, which you can then almost put into some statistical support for yourself. And obviously it's not going to carry massive weight in terms of true stats, but it might be a little trigger for you to say, actually, well, three, four times in a month I've been bowled, or I've been LBW, or I've been caught, whatever it might be. Well, that's maybe a few too many for me. Let's just start reviewing and try and nip it in the bud before it actually gets out of hand, and I get to a situation where Nilab is here, where he's feeling stressful, and obviously his enjoyment for the game can presumably drop away a little bit, and that's the last thing that we want.
Yeah, so something to work with there, Nilab. Not an easy one to answer, I don't think, because, you know, of limited information, not being able to see the player in actions, see what's happening. But hopefully you've got some leads there and you can do a bit of Sherlock Holmes detective work. Get to the bottom of it. Use some deduction.
OK, so this week on the Soapbox, we've got David. David's going to give us 60 seconds of his highly intuitive ramblings. So 60 seconds on the clock, David. Off you go.
I want to talk about the difference between matching the players that you've got to the tactics or matching the tactics to the players that you've got. Now, it's a lot easier to match the tactics to the players that you've got, but sometimes that can be difficult for someone to comprehend if your philosophy of cricket doesn't match with the type of players that you've got. So if you do want to change players and the style that players have, and this has happened to me recently, having to become a specialist batsman where I normally am a specialist wicketkeeper, it can be done. But I think the important thing to be able to think about before you embark on that is the player that you want to change their approach prepared to do it in the first place and willing to take on that challenge? And in the second place, are they capable of being able to do it? Because it's no good coming up with all these grand plans and then the bottom line is if you can't execute on those plans, if you can't do the things that you want to do, then there's no point in having the plans in the first place. So always try and match those two together. And that is all we've got time for on the show. We've already lost Garrows, of course. Technical difficulties has prevented him from playing a full part in the show. But just as a young player steps up into the first 11, Sam Lavery has stepped up into the Garrows position and taken command of the situation and given Mark Garraway level advice. So well done, Lavers.
Thank you very much.
Encourage the young man, I think.
Thank you. First time I've been a young man for a number of years.
Well, we do need to do one more thing before we go, and that again is normally Gareth's job. So Lavers, it's going to be over to you this week to decide who wins the prize of the online coaching course from Pitchfishing Academy. Cameron's question was about leg spin and trying to spin it a bit more when he's bowling a bit quicker, and Nilab's question was a sad face about getting out to a straight one. So which one did you prefer, Lavers?
I think I'm going to go with Cameron this week, and I think for a young lad of 13, he's given really good detail about his question. It's something that he's specifically trying to improve, a part of his game that he's aware of needing to improve. So he wants to improve his pace, and he's targeted a specific area that he thinks he needs to develop a little bit. So I think that was a really good question for a young man to be looking and seeking advice at such an early age. That's a really well put together question with lots of information, which allows us to then give a reasonable amount of detail in the answer. So my prize is going to go to Cameron.
Well done, Cameron. And the thing to remember when it comes to leg spin with us is that we get a heck of a lot of leg spin questions. I don't know why, but the ratio is probably 3-1 of leg spin questions or compared to any other question. So it really has to be a good one for it to even make the cut, because we get so many leg spin related questions. I don't know what that says about leg spinners. But maybe they are the crazy ones and not the wicket keepers or the left arm spinners. I don't know. But anyway, that's that. Now, if somebody wanted to get in touch with the show, Lavers, and send in their own question, whether it's a leg spin one or any other type of question, what would they need to do to get in touch with us?
They can give us a call on 0203 239 7543, or they can drop us an email at coach@pitchvision.com.
That's correct. There are also several other ways of getting in touch with us, including Twitter at Pitchvision Acad and Facebook, which is facebook.com/pitchvisionacademy. If you want to listen to this show every week, you can do so. You're quite welcome to join the community and listen every week to the questions and get and find out a little bit more about coaching and playing cricket. You can do that by subscribing to the show in iTunes. Very easy to do that. It's just a matter of doing a search in iTunes and you'll find us by searching for Bitchvision Academy in there. You can also do a search in competing podcatching programs. Pocket Cast and Dog Catcher are a couple of options where if you do a search in either of those, you'll also find us. And that's the case for most of the wild and wonderful podcatching programs. If you want to subscribe using the old-fashioned black and white RSS feed, which is the way that we used to do it in the olden days, then you can go to pitchvision.com/academy and click on the podcast link and you'll find the RSS details in there. But if you don't care about any of that technical voodoo, then just go to iTunes and you can do the rest of it. That's all for this week. And hopefully we'll be back to full technical power next week, and we hope you have a listen. Until then, have a good week. Cheers, Lavers.
Thanks, David.
Cheers, Garrows in Sardinia as well.